To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor, glory, forever and ever. Amen. To the King, to the only God, the God of all ages, of all time, be glory, honor, and praise now and forever. I'm going to reiterate some scriptures that we talk about a lot here because it's really important to understand the heart of what the scriptures are. And the word says it like this. It says, the carnal mind is enmity. It can't receive the things of God. But the Spirit reveals those things. And it's by the Spirit that we exceed. We go beyond the carnal reluctancy and the carnal limitations that we can see with our eyes, that we can sense with our senses. And that's what we are created to do. You are created to see God manifest in your life. And do you know why? Because you are a part of God's reality. And that's pretty deep if you think about it. You are a part of God's reality. Not just part of it. You are a part of God's reality. Deuteronomy 29:29, the Old Testament, says it like this. It says, the secret things, so there are secret things about God. The secret things of God, they belong to God. And it goes on to explain, those things which God does not reveal, those things remain in secret, and we don't know about them. No one does. But once God reveals those things, they then belong to us, or they can belong to us if we believe them to be true. If we believe that we are a part of those realities. And how do we know? Well, the word says that only by the Spirit can we know God. Only if the Spirit reveals to us. And the Spirit does the will of the Father. And the Spirit seeks, the word says, the depths of God. Now, it's really important to listen with the ear of the Spirit today. What do you mean? Just know, just believe what the word is the word is of God and the word is for you. The word belongs to you. The word is God, so it means the word is present. The word is God. It's God's word, so it's in the fullness of God right here and right now. God is not in part. He doesn't just reveal a portion of himself. He wills to reveal the fullness of who he is. And the word says it like this. It says that Jesus came to reveal the Father. The word says he was the visible image of the invisible God. The visible image of the invisible God. The visible image of the invisible God. And it goes on to say something else I find incredibly profound. It says, Jesus was the firstborn of he who is over all creation. So for the very first time when Jesus was born, God was born in flesh for the very first time. It had never happened before. Adam was made out of the earth, but no one had been born strictly by God. Virgin birth, Holy Spirit. A man is formed in the womb. So God could be born in the image of man. And Jesus, the word says, that he came in the form of man. That he was created as a man, that he was born as a man. Why would God do such a thing? Well, we know he did it, so he'd go to the cross, and so he would die. But why? Why did God make us? I mean, aren't we a mess? Aren't we just miserable things sometimes? I mean, we're ugly and nasty and we're unstable. I mean, the least little thing throws us off course, and we change our course, we change our mind. We get upset over nothing, things that really don't make any difference in the side of life, so feeble. Why would he make such a feeble thing? I think the angels went, I don't know what that is, but you're God. So, I mean, you've never made a mistake before. I mean, granted, it looks like one, but you're God, so it has to be right. So, you know, I think one of them said, what is man that you are mindful of him? I don't get it. Maybe scratching his halo or his head, saying, what is this that you made him, you formed him? And, I mean, it's obvious that he's a little lower than us, maybe a lot lower, but you've crowned him with glory. What do you mean? You've given him such call. You've spoken such purpose about him. Why would God do that with us? I mean, there has to be. God is number one. He's the fullness of all things. And he's all time without time. I love what you said, Devo, because it was a perfect introduction to right now. He is all time without time. Let's make it real simple. He's every moment that it'll ever take place, but not necessarily every moment revealed. So he's all time, but his revealing who he is endless. So we just read it to the king, the only king, immortal. That means he lives forever. But eternal means something more. It means there's no end. Living forever is one thing, but there's no end to who you are. There's no end to the eternal things that you will reveal forever. And that's called eternity. We consider and we think that when we die, we will live in eternity. And a lot of people have died, and a lot of people are living, according to the Word of God, in eternity. They have put off the body of sin, and the Spirit has left the body, and to be absent from the body, the Word says, is to be present with the Lord. And that's totally comprehensive and understandable. But there's something beyond that time. There's something beyond that. And we see it in the birth of Christ. We're coming into the time of Christmas, the birth of Christ. And I love this time, and I'll tell you why I love this time. And I know there's a lot of goofy stuff all around. It's this and it's that and it's something else. I'll tell you what Christmas is to me. Christmas is the revelation of Christ in the earth. It's the birth of the Son of the living God. And I celebrate it in the fullness with that understanding, and that's all there is. It's God and God alone. I'm not a heathen. I'm not a pagan. I'm a born-again believer. I am an Emmanuelist. God is with me all the time. That's who I am. That's my faith. That's where I stand. That's where I walk. And that's how I believe, and that's how I always believe, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's who Christ wants to be in you. But Jesus, when he was born, the word says firstborn. Now that means the firstborn of all creation. He is the fullness, and he was born. The fullness of God was born in the earth. And we know that because the word then again says, and he embodied, the fullness of God embodied him, filled him in bodily form. That's another incredible scripture. Think about that. Here's a man. The word makes it very clear, wants us to know that he didn't come in the form of an angel. He didn't come in the form of the Spirit. He didn't come in the form of God. He came in the form of a man, but he was the image of the invisible. And let's pop all the way back to Genesis. God created you in his what? In his image. And in his likeness, you were and you are created. So you are the likeness and the image. Why? Because God wanted a host. He wanted a house. Jesus not only prepared a place for you on the cross, he prepared a house for himself. And the word says that you are, the body of Christ, and I love this, and you are parts in particular. Each one of you is a part of that body. So, you are a part of God's reality. Who created you? God. For what? Purpose and his pleasure. You were, and I like this, because we just weren't, were. You are created. And why are we created? For his pleasure. So when Christ comes into us, and this is really important, it is important, when Christ comes into us, he fills us with his fullness. If we're willing to walk in his fullness, which takes faith, then things that you hadn't imagined will begin to take place in your life. Things you hadn't thought, things you hadn't prayed about, things you didn't know to pray about. So as God is moving you into this understanding, you go through different things that calls on your most holy faith. And when that faith is called on, if we divert from the understanding that we should have, and we say we're under attack, PFC, you know this very well, someone is trying to stop me, could be flesh and blood or spirit or whatever you think it is, then you divert from the confidence, Christ in me is my hope of glory. All things work together for good. The Lord is always with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. You divert from my steps are ordered of the Lord. And that's a problem. And the reason it's a problem is because then you don't see the invisible attributes of God that dwell in you. Now you see that you're being thrown off course. So what you may not be aware of is you're acknowledging and you're believing, you're taking your faith and believing that there is a power that can divert your course, which means God's plan can be interrupted in your life. And that's not the truth. He will lead you in the way that you should go, and he's not going to leave you, so you're going to continue on that path. The Lord, he is my shepherd. I don't want for anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know it. He leads me beside the quieted waters. You know it. He restores your soul. He leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even if you were to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't fear any evil because you know he's with you. His rod, his staff, they comfort you. His direction, a staff and a rod, kept the sheep in the path, on the path that the shepherd wanted them to go. It's a good thing. But sometimes you don't like to be corrected and tapped. Your ego resists it, carnal mind. Then you make dumb decisions. You get offended. You get hurt. You back up, you back out, you back away, you throw in the towel, you do all those crazy things that are not the character of who you really were created to be. But in all those things is where we're going to see what we're looking for. And that is the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, he came in the fullness of the Father. And he did something incredible on the cross that's really important for us to understand. Had Adam and Eve truly believed and understood who they really were in God and who God was in them, you're the image and the likeness of me, be my host. How? Keep my word. Just do what I say and believe my word is the only authority, the only fulfillment, the only thing you need to have abundant life. Just believe that. And if you believe that, God will fill you with that and you will know what it means. And once you walk in that, you're there. You know this is it. That was God's plan for mankind, still is today. But they doubted because they thought there was something beyond who God had created them to be, something beyond what dwelt within them, the Word of God that was in them, that they needed in order to be more like God. And that was a problem because they looked outside of the word that God had spoken to them and it led them in the wrong path. It led them to doubt, self-consumed, self-absorbed, self-trusting, and to a point they became kind of like the devil again. I'm going to disobey God. I'm going to eat of this fruit so I can be like God. That's what they said. That's what the word says. So, kind of like you see the devil again, right? And what is the devil? Well, that which doubts God and acts in direct contradiction to his will, his nature, and his word. And that's what they did. But had they really have known, had they really have understood, if you really know, if you really understand, God will set you on a course that will not only change your life, but will transform this world that we live in today. You may not like what's going on today in the world, but I am extremely thankful and grateful for what God has done, what he has done through the election. And don't be so double-minded or single-minded in your own way that you can't hear me. God is doing something that has been predicted and prophesied according to his word, his will, and his spirit. And let me say this, God has given us an open platform to make a statement and to present the kingdom of God in a way God has called you to be, to host the presence of the Lord in such a profound way. This is the doing of God. And I'm excited about it. I'm thankful for it. And we are watching, and you will see, and we've been prophesying this now for probably just a little over 4 years. There's going to be a tremendous purging in the earth, and I have seen it taking place over 3 years' time. And then as that purging happens, we'll call them the new things, things that we haven't experienced in the way that we are about to experience them, will take place. Ecclesiastes says there's no thing under the sun. Those things which were are, and those things which are were. But God said, I will to do a new thing. I will for you to see me, to experience me and my presence, my spirit and the power in ways that you haven't. And folks, that's the kingdom of God being revealed. That's the kingdom of God, okay? And we are in that incredible season of time. And God is going to purge. He's going to do some purging in your life. Let God purge. Let him do the purging. Because number one, it is the fulfillment of the word. He said, I'm going to purge, like with hyssop, and I'm going to make you clean, whiter than snow. I'm going to wash. Let God do, as David said, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit in me. I don't claim to be anything except a host for you, a dwelling place for you, just like you said. I want to be a dwelling place. And let's keep that in mind. Why would God do such a thing? What is the point and purpose in us being the host of God? And we're going to talk about that in more detail. But here's what's important. We are made that dwelling place. God is doing an incredible thing. And he's shown us a picture. He's shown us how our nation has changed. You can look at the map. And I like to look at it today after the election. And I know some people are going to get upset. And I'm not sorry. I'm telling you because it's what God showed me, what God has spoken to me, and there's great importance in it. It is a sign. It is God's finger pointing in a direction. It is a wake-up time. Since way back beyond COVID to this present time, God is doing a purging in our nation. And I'm not accrediting men and women. I'm not accrediting anyone but God. God has found his vessels. God has chosen them. And what I love is that I'm hearing praises unto God after an election. I'm hearing people singing, How Great Thou Art, and worshiping God, declaring the name of Jesus Christ. Now, whatever side of the fence you decide to stand on, one thing you better look at. You better look and see where the name of the Lord God is being declared. And that's the side you need to stand on. And if you're not, and if you're politically so thrown off, you may be able to look at why you're being held back. Maybe God's saying it's time for you to purge your mind and stand fully on the side of righteousness. No matter what you're experiencing with friends or family or the past, you need to say, hey, you know, you can love people around you, but you don't have to agree with their policies and stand in their faith. You can stand on the side that God has called you into in righteousness, truth, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's the will of the Father. But here's what you are going to see. Here is what's happening. And for over 4 years, God has given us that word in this house. And I know, I don't doubt it, in houses of worship all over, that the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God, is going to cause people from the other sides of the world, people with varying opinions, to be drawn to our faith, to surrender to your faith for one reason, for the same reason we saw this election go. A man tried to be assassinated. There was an attempt to assassinate him. He stood up with blood running down his face and said, fight, face, saying, fight, fight, fight. We fight the good fight of faith. And when you stand confirmed, you become a light without double-mindedness. And when you do that, God highlights his presence in you. And then guess what? People start to gather around your faith because you are the light in a dark world. And they begin to see the truth. And you see the earth covered in red. The blood of Jesus is sanctifying our nations. Don't resist and don't reject the purging of God. Now, you may say, well, yeah, that's fine for you to say. You know, you're up there preaching all this, telling us. What about you? In the house of PFC, God will purge. In your personal lives, all of us, God will purge. And I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. Those that stand so-so with you will either come in or God will just move them out. Be okay with that. Let God purge your life. Let God do what he said. He said, I'm going to prune you so you bear more fruit. I'm going to purge your mind. So Paul said, this is the problem. He said, when you're double-minded, Adam and Eve became double-minded in a perfect scenario, a perfect world, no shame, no need, no want, no debt collectors after them, you know, no government that they didn't like, not anything. All they had to do was remind everyone of what God said. That's all you had to do, just say to the serpent. See, it wasn't the serpent they had to overcome. It was their will. That's all they had to overcome. Just their will. Jesus on the cross, Jesus before he went to the cross, when he meets the tempter, he's called the tempter. What did Jesus have to overcome? He had to overcome the devil. No, Jesus declared, I've already seen him fall like lightning. What did Jesus overcome? He overcame temptation. Read the word. He overcame temptation. And what did he say about the devil? What did he say about Peter? Get behind me. You savor the things which are of flesh and blood of men, not the things that are of God. Let's make it real simple. God is with you in the fullness of his spirit and his wisdom and his power. And our nation for the next 3 years, some people, it's going to be such an upside down world, they're not going to know what to do. But to those that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that those that claim Jesus as Lord and believe him completely, implicitly, and totally, God will open your eyes to see. And in this coming year, you can see your life transition. Don't be afraid to be wrong. Don't be afraid to repent. Don't be afraid to say, maybe we need to repent. Because let me tell you something. If where you're standing is creating division of faith, not division of unrighteousness, but division of faith, then you're standing in the wrong place. When we come together, we are together. We come together to unite. A few of us men met for lunch Saturday, and the whole point was to come together, find a place where we can agree, where we can encourage one another in the direction we're going and strengthen one another, just love on one another. We talked about God. We talked about the kingdom. We talked about politics. We talked about life. We came together in unity, and frankly, I had a great time with my brothers in Christ. We sat, we ate, we feasted together, and we went away in strength, encouraged, loving one another. We are here to come together in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Unify with those around you. And if you can't, step aside. PFC will do the same thing. If it's not coming fully with you, doesn't have the vision fully with you, then I'm okay to step aside. Because God will bring to you, as he said, seek first the kingdom of God. God, so it's not just you I'm preaching to. God's doing it throughout the whole earth. We're all in this together. God is purging the nations of unrighteousness and doubt so we are filled with the fullness of his will, his purpose, his pleasure, and his power. In that, the kingdom of God is going to be manifest. When you have the mindset that we need God to get us out of Dodge so we can know the kingdom of God, then we're not fulfilling our call. And what is our call? To take what? Dominion in the earth through Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? He came and he took dominion. In one day's time, in one day's time, Jesus brought together the past, the present, and the future. Never been done before. Never been done. When God created the world, he took 6 days. But God said, I prepared you from the foundation, Jesus, from the foundation. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. And keep in mind, all things work together in the Trinity because that's who God is. And he's the one that made all things. We have time. We have matter, we have space, and they all have to coexist at the same time. Matter has to have a space to fit into, and it has to have a time in which to exist. So you can't have one without the other. They all have to coexist at the same time. Simple understanding, right? God created all things for his purpose and for his pleasure. He created you to host his reality. You are a part of God's reality. Now, God is the fullness of all things. But who is God? God is love. What is the nature of love? Does anyone know? What is the nature of love? Share. Love shares. Love loves. In what conditions? All of them. Love is God. He that dwells in love dwells in God because God is love. So love has to share its reality. God is the fullness of all things, and we'll never see the end of it. That's the eternal part. The immortal part is God lives forever. And that part of God is inside of you. If we take on the mind that we need to escape in order to see the fullness of God, we don't have the faith to manifest the fullness of God. Are you with me? We don't need an escape route. We need a remaining route. We need a root. We need a foundation where we say, we are here in the image of God to represent the fullness of God because God desired a host, you, a house. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. In the image of God, he created man and woman. Now, I'm not going to say God looks like you, but I'm going to say you represent his image. You represent something God wanted. You are the will of God. Say it. I am the will of God. I am the will of God. And if you're not, then you think you're God. Because God created all things and all people. And he created you. He created you. Making this as simple as I possibly know how. So God, give me extreme wisdom to make it extremely simple to you. God created a host because he deemed it necessary. Why? Because God is not a man, but he created a man. And he created that man for his purpose. He created you for his pleasure. So you are an experience to God. Now I find that pretty profound. Joy, favor, pleasure, love is an experience. Correct? If you have joy, it's an experience. If you are pleased with something or someone, it is an experience. If you love someone, it is an experience. So you are created to be an experience for God. And what is God experiencing through you? His nature. When God speaks, God is the fullness of all things. He's everything. And there's only one God, and there is no other. And there's only one Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Word says when you're baptized, not only in water, but baptized in Him, be baptized in the understanding, the knowledge, the revelation, the insight of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? God the Father, God, the fullness of all things. Jesus, the living spoken word. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that empowers man. Okay? God, Christ in you. What is it? Glory's hope. So God, in order to make himself known, which is the whole creation of man, God created man and then God speaks. God is the fullness of all things, but he is not revealed until he speaks a word. All things are created by the Word. Jesus is called the Word of God. And without the Word, not anything that is created was created. God, in his fullness, deemed it necessary, knew it to be perfect to create a host he calls humanity, so God could reveal his nature. So the kingdom, the unseen, invisible God, the unseen, invisible kingdom could be revealed. And you have to know that. You are the host of the kingdom of God. They said to Jesus, okay, we need to wrap our minds around this. We need to wrap our minds around this kingdom you keep talking about. So show us. Jesus said, you're looking at it and you don't see it. So it doesn't come that way. No one's going to tell you it's coming over here or it's coming over there. But religion and tradition tells us that we aren't going to know the fullness of God until Jesus comes out of the sky or opens that veil and just appears. But the Word tells us, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has been determined to dwell within you. The kingdom of God is within you. God created you just like He created Christ. We are the representation of Jesus being born in the flesh when you were born again of God, only by the Spirit, and you become a new creation. On the cross, in one moment's time, Jesus demonstrated all time in one moment of time for the first time ever since creation. And we didn't know it until John interfaces with the angel of the Lord and Jesus says, I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am He which was, which is, which is to come. What was He saying? Do you know what I did on the cross, John? In one moment's time, I became all time. In 1 hour, in 1 day, 3 hours, if you will, I created, recreated all of mankind. I recreated. We are a new creation. Old things passed, all things became new. The sun, the Word literally says in Amos, had to go down. God said, I made the sun go down. I created a day, a full creation in 1 day's time. The beginning, the present, the end happened on the cross when Jesus said, Tetelestai, it is done. It is finished. Mamlacha, the kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of God is at hand. You may think, well then, why aren't people walking here? For the same reason that the woman with the issue of blood was one of the only ones at the time that when she touched Jesus, it's recorded that she did something. She created an experience for God by her faith in God. Jesus was able to have an experience that would only happen through the faith of a human host. Because we have to use and live by faith. We can't do it with our eyes. And the Word says no eye can see what God wants to do. It has to be revealed by the Spirit that dwells in you. You are the hope of the kingdom of God being revealed. But if our hope is in an escape so we can make it, then we don't take dominion over the earth. And God waits for a generation that is like the woman that says, I'm not waiting until someone gives me some money so I can offer the rabbi some money. I'm not waiting until I feel a little bit better and say, I think I feel sure. The Word says she was dying. She had lost her strength. She had lost her life's force. And with the last bit of her life's force, she put her life on the line, fulfilling prophecy. If you're going to follow me, lay down your life. To come to me, to draw from me. And she said, but when I touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. And when she did, the Word says that virtue, meaning power, authority, the essence of God, traveled from Christ into the host, into the body, just like you. And she was immediately healed. She didn't feel like she was in great condition. She didn't have arrogance. She had humility. Humility is important. When we get together, we should come together in humility, in surrender to the love of God. The Word says, admonish one another more highly than yourself. That's the nature of God. That's what Jesus did. He admonished you. He took his body, his life, and laid it down. He humbled himself to the mighty hand of God. It was God's will, not the devil's will, not man's will. It was God's will. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, the scriptures say. Because God wanted a host. And when you look at Jesus Christ and you understand he was the fullness and the will of the Father without sin, the one and only, always and forever. When you receive his word, you receive him. How do you do that? Jesus, I receive you. I believe your word. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With a heart, man believes unto God. With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I receive you as Lord and Savior. However God puts it in your heart to accept him. And instantaneously, your faith says, that's who I am. Now you've identified with your true purpose. You are the host of the Holy Spirit. God in all his glory, in all his greatness, in the kingdom of his heavens. What is that like? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared. Yet he is revealing them through us. Not just to you, not here's a picture, because Jesus was the canvas. He was the picture. He was the Son of Almighty God. He was God in the flesh. And he said, and they looked at me and they rejected me. We have to accept the fullness of God and we have to believe Christ has made me the host of his kingdom. I don't need an escape route. I've already been saved. I only need to be saved once. You've already been saved once. You don't have to be saved again. You're saved. What do you mean? We don't need Jesus to come and eradicate evil for us to walk in the glory of God. In the midst, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil because God is with me. It's David and Goliath. It's Daniel in the lion's den. It's the woman ashamed with the issue of blood that is healed. It is blind Bartimaeus that says, heal me. Let me receive my sight. It's a centurion soldier says, no waiting time. We don't have to make the journey. It's right here, right now. I know the power of the spoken word. Speak the word only. When you receive a prophetic word, God is seeking a host through which to fulfill that word, because God in all his eternal endlessness is in secret. Until he speaks it, until he reveals it. In all the fullness of God's greatness and glory, it is in secret. The scriptures declare that from the old to the new. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things of God. So there are secret things of God. In the New Testament, Jesus said, these things are the secrets of God, and they have been kept secret from the beginning of time. But now the purpose is to reveal them through you. God wants you to be an experience for him through who he is in you. We are in him. We walk in him. We believe into him. But he said, I in you and you in me. That's how you bear fruit. I in you and you in me. Not me coming and saving you. And here's what's important. We have to get the mentality out of our heads that evil is ruling the nations or evil is ruling the government or we're just going to have to be delivered because the world is getting so bad that we're only human. You are a triad of God's reality. You are filled with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You are baptized into him. We don't need to be delivered out. We need to be brought in. We don't need to be taken to heaven. We need heaven to come out of us. And in that, the kingdom of God is revealed. And then you're raptured into his presence. If we don't think that way, then we wait for a time to come that cannot come because there's no host for it to exist in. God in all his greatness and in all his glory, There was a time that he became known like he had never been known before. Jesus was the firstborn. Do you know what that means? For the first time, heaven and earth had an experience they had never had before. The Word of God became the Son of God. And became God in the host. God in his body. Don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? God said, I will make my dwelling in them. But our faith is so inclined to what we call the latter day. I'm looking for the beginning day. We've already experienced the latter day. The Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. For the very first time, all time happened simultaneously in Christ when he says, Tetelestai, it is finished. And we have to receive that because only your faith can make it a reality. Noah had to believe, even though he had never seen it rain, even though it had never happened before, that he heard the Word of God and he acted upon the Word of God. When God speaks a word to you, you should embrace it. You should make it your pillow. You should make it your cup of coffee. You should make it your reality. He said, I'm going to do what you couldn't even imagine. So God says something to you that seems beyond the boundaries of your ability. Then God is saying, but I'm giving you my ability. I just need a host to do it in. Because until I can speak a living word, until I can speak Christ into you, my eternity will not be made revealed. I need a host to reveal my eternity. I need a host to reveal my will. I will a host to be revealed in you. The word says God desires to make you his dwelling place. How incredible is that? Why would God do that? Because he has to speak into a vessel that believes him by faith. It's the only thing that pleases God. So the Spirit can do what God reveals. Heaven and earth unite. We come together. Those two dimensions or triad dimensions. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Heavens, earth, man, matter, space, time. We need a space to put matter, and we need a time that it happens. The minute God speaks, an event takes place. The minute God releases a word, if you will, the spiritual clock, the kingdom of clock begins to tick because God spoke. And when God speaks through you, time begins. When God speaks to you, time begins. You are no longer waiting for it to happen. It has begun. In the genesis of time, God took 6 days, created the world. Then he said, but I'm going to show you something on the cross. If you will, in 3 hours' time. Amos reveals that to us. It says the sun went down. The earth was dark for about 3 hours. And a new day arose. Jesus, it is finished. It has begun. I am, he said to John, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. I became all time at once on the cross as a host for the Father, as a body for the Father. And all time took place. There's no place you can hide from me. Nothing can be taken from you. You can't lose. There is no loss in the kingdom of God. It's like throwing the seed in the ground and say, I lost it. No, you didn't lose it. You just lost sight of it. But it is live. And it's going to die to itself first. Important. So it can be raised in the power of the promise within the seed. The power of a seed is its promise. And what is its promise? It will turn into what it came from. Who it came from. Where it came from. When you die to yourself, you turn back into who and where and what you came from. God the Father, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. God is so prominently and present with you. You have such power. You have such destiny. And everything you're experiencing, haven't said this for a long time, every event, what is an event? Every act, every event holds the potential for purpose and destiny. I connect it to Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that will acknowledge, that love God and will walk in the call according to his purpose. What is my purpose? To be a host for the kingdom of God. And without it, you're not going to see it, because God will host his kingdom in you first. Just like he hosted salvation in Jesus Christ in a body. God created us in his image and his likeness. Jesus was the image of God and walked in the fullness of his power. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We should be manifesting the very essence and the very nature of who Christ is, just like Jesus in the body manifested the will of the Father. He said, I am the light of the world. I am the illumination of the manifestation of God. I'm leaving in this form. I'm returning back in you. Be the light. It's time for you to be the light of the world. God has shined a light in our government, and it is drawing people from all walks of life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are going to come to declare Jesus out of popularity, because it will become popular to be Jesus named. To name the name of Jesus, to be a Jesus follower, to be righteous. It will have its season of being popular. And that's not the best reason to serve the Lord. But if they taste and see. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem when evil takes over. It's not that evil is powerful. Someone will see someone do evil. Back in the Old Testament, when there was an evil nation, God would eliminate the evil because it's contagious. Because people like to be in what they consider is the popular scene. We all know that. A lot of people that are doing and saying the things they've been saying for years that are absolutely against the will of God, against the Word of God, isn't because they think it's good or right. They just think it's popular. And here's a scripture for you. They desire the praises of men instead of God. God is going to make his name echo throughout the nations of the earth. In the news, on the news, in the media, in film, in productions, in the theaters, places you haven't heard the voice of the Lord. And it's not because one person takes up that scepter and does it. It's because we all come together in the unity of the faith. We can be unified. We don't have to agree on the same color being your favorite color, or a particular brand of vehicle being your best vehicle, or why you like your coffee or your tea. We can come together in the knowledge that we are the host of God, and the only way God can make himself known by his command, the only way God can make his kingdom revealed by his will, is that we are the host of his kingdom. And we don't need to be saved twice. We only need to be saved once and carry the authority of his will. And he said, I will make you kings and priests in the earth to me. And nations will bow before the God that you serve. That is taking dominion. And Jesus said, what you consider the end, even though I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end without an end, you'll only know this time when you become that time. You have to be the event of the spoken word of God. When God spoke his word, time, an event took place. And when God has favor, the Lord says he was pleased with the people. He was pleased with their obedience. He was pleased when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God had an experience with man. He was pleased. There was an experience. We became an experience of God. You are a part of the reality of God. It is time to walk in His fullness. God is going to purge. God be glorified. He said, when I purge you, all I'm doing is trimming away that which is sucking your strength away. You consider it being diminished, but God says it is increase. So the fruit that you bear moving forward is better, more robust, more desirable. It's the best fruit. God desires that we bear fruit and that our fruit remain. And this is that season. This is that moment in time. This is that hour. Jesus is all time in us. He is the time of the beginning. He is the time of His presence in the present. He is the future of His kingdom come, His will be done. He is the Alpha. He said that to John, I want you to know me in a way you have never known me before. I am the Alpha. I became it on the cross. I am the Omega. You saw day and night happen as I hung on the cross. It was day, it was night, it was day. I recreated time in one moment on the cross. Now you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is only how we think that detours us from walking in the fullness of His kingdom. Paul said, a double-minded, he said, I adjure you, I urge you, I beseech you by the mercies of God, my dear brothers and sisters. I urge you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. That's true worship. And don't be conformed to the popularity. Become what is popular. Do not be conformed to the world or conned into a form, deceived into a form, but be transformed. Transform into a metamorpho, changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, you may stand as a witness, bear the character, the nature, the power of the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. And this is that day. So I put before you, this is the day God has made, and this is the greatest season of your lives. You are blessed. You are empowered, but you have to know it. Be renewed in knowledge, knowing, having the mind of God, of Christ, that you submitted to the will of God, and God's fullness is manifesting in you. Now, what's the thought? We are here in this season to become the popular decision, the popular route, the popular way, the popular road. What do you mean? The favor of God. We aren't waiting for time to take place. The Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end is right here. You are part of God's reality, and His reality is complete, total, full, here and now. With us, He is the I am God with you always. He is the coming Lord that has come in the form of Emmanuel, God with us. To come and get us, if He's with us, where is He going to take us? Now listen, there is a second return, a revelation, a revealing, an appearing of Christ. Absolutely, yes and amen. But where is He? And is He going to take us to a place? Or is He going to reveal, as He said, His kingdom within us? And that place takes place, and the heavens and the earth come together as one. What does the Word of God say? And see Him returning from the heavens in the cloud. See Him coming out of a door in your living room. See Him coming up out of the earth. See Him just appear around. It doesn't. He is present with us, however you see it. He is going to make himself revealed. He is going to appear. But if he is with us and his kingdom is within us, where is he going to take you? Seek the kingdom. Where is it? The kingdom of heaven is within you. Seek the Christ living within you, and God will work out all the details. Again, when the disciples stood there, when Jesus went up and said, I'm coming back in like manner, they're standing there going, wow, I wonder if he's coming back in like 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. When is he coming back? He said, go to the upper room and wait for me. I'm going to endure you with power from on high. Go and wait for me there. And the angel said, why are you standing here gazing up? Go do what he called you to do. Do what he told you to do. Church, let's do what he told us to do. God will handle the details. All that's important is that we're busy about his kingdom. And all this contradiction and fighting over pre-trib, post-trib. He's coming this way. He's coming in that way. No, he said in a cloud. No, he said he's coming out of a veil. You know what? He has come. He's coming. He has been here. He is here. He's coming here. He is the first, he is the last, he is the beginning, he is the end. Those things aren't the emphasis. The emphasis is, where is he now? Where is the kingdom of God now? Within me. That's exciting. I don't have to wait to be delivered because the evil world is so evil, but I can walk, you can walk in the fullness of God because God is so God and so powerful and so authoritative and so present with you here and now. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God wanted us in heaven, and that was the primary directive. Then he would have created us there. But what he really wants, instead of just taking us there so we get out of trouble, he's wanting to bring it out of us so we reveal there is no power but of God, and those powers which be are ordained of God. You know what that makes us? True worshipers of the one and only God. No one else gets credit. We don't see a different place that God does not exist. We believe in the omnipresence of God. We believe in the word Emmanuel. God is with us. And we can bring change to the present time. And everything and all things that God is going to reveal that exceed our imagination. So why debate about it? Let's just be who he's called us to be in the here and now. As he said, don't say tomorrow. Say, this is the day that God has made. And today I rejoice. And I'm glad in it. Be glad in today. God is doing great things. And the only thing that can keep you from being a part of it is your doubt that causes you to exit the place you're supposed to be in. Stand strong in the Spirit of the Lord and the power of God's might. For the Lord your God is with you in spirit, favor, truth, and power. And this is the greatest season of your lives. Give the Lord praise this morning. Oh God, great God, mighty God, the Lord who is ever present, the Lord who is in us and with us and revealed through us. We want to be a pleasing experience to you, Lord. We want to walk in your favor. We want to walk in your will and your wisdom. So we declare of the Lord, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We are your dwelling place. So be glorified. Be glorified. We are surrendered, submitted, committed and empowered of you, through you, and to you. And to you, God, be all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for the moment of wisdom. We thank you that when you were asked to show us the kingdom, that you said the kingdom of heaven is within you. What you really said In the Greek is, the kingdom of God is within your grasp. Will you take a hold of it? Will you receive that I am He who is with you? I am the fullness of the Father dwelling in bodily form. And I want you to dwell in the same presence that you see me dwelling in. So I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. And you will receive power once that the Holy Ghost has come on you. And you will bear witness of me in all of the earth. And Father, we give you praise. We pull upon the heavens of God. Heaven and earth unite. Heaven and earth come together in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of the living God. Be glorified, for the invisible and the visible come together. We worship you, true, only God, holy God, creator of all that was, all that is, and all that is to come. We bless your great, mighty, and holy name. And we declare you as your host, as your temple, as the body of Christ. We declare that you are Lord in all, of all, through all, and that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your kingdom be revealed in this earth as it is in the heavens, that it may be made known. For the secret things belong to God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children and our children's children for generation after generation. And God, we give you praise. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the word of the Lord God has been spoken. God, be pleased, be glorified, be praised. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Everybody shouted. Stand to your feet with me, if you would, this morning. And say, if God be for me, what in the world could possibly be against me? If God is for me, what and who could possibly be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? Colossians 1, it says, to unify all things, things in heaven, to unify all things, things in heaven and things in earth. And that we come into the fullness of all things. The word says Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Father. And he is Lord over the church, which is his body. The fullness of all things. Which body you are. That's pretty powerful. That's an incredible statement. Father, we worship you. I want you to say, I am a part. If you believe this in your heart, say, I am a part of the reality of God. I am a part of the reality of God. I am his spoken word. I wouldn't be here unless he called out my name. I wouldn't exist unless he willed me to exist. Because the word says only by his will all things exist. And they coexist. So I am part of the reality of God. I not only experience God, I am an experience to God. I and you, he said, and you and me, if we're in him, we're an experience to him. And what makes that so powerful is we can do what we were assigned to do in the beginning. To worship God and God alone. To manifest his kingdom in the earth. He said, just make this your prayer. Your kingdom come. Out of me, your kingdom be revealed. In this earth, in this vessel, just as it is in heaven. Jesus canceled out your sin. He canceled out your debt. In one moment's time, he said, I'm recreating it all. It all begins new. The past, the present, and the future takes place right here, right now, on the cross. I create a new day. You are new. You are born again. You are filled with the will of the Father. You are the host of heaven. Heaven wants to inhabit your body, your spirit, your mind. And God's kingdom will be revealed only in and through those through whom He has chosen to reveal it through. Say, that's me. Now say, I am the created, favored, and purposed will of God. I'm not only going to do the will of the Father. He made me His will. I am the will of the Father. So to walk in His word, to walk faithfully, is not a burden. It is a blessing. It is no longer I, but Christ, who lives and works the will of God in me. I am born again. I am filled with the Spirit of God and His wonder. And this is the greatest season of my life. God has purged in your lives, which means the word that God would purge has begun, which means the event of that occasion has already taken place. And now you move forward to see the next thing in the realm of God's possibilities becoming your probabilities and unfolding as His promise. In other words, what God said is happening now because stage one, realm one, has taken place. Now you move on to stage step two. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and every little is a lot because God is in it and in it all. And God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted, yeah!